We celebrate you. Welcome to Lofty Heights Christian Center, a ministry that exists to raise kingdom influencers. As a church, we emphasize three things: the Word, the integrity of it and its ability to transform, the Holy Spirit, His power and demonstration of the same, and love. Love for God, for yourself, and for others. You are about to experience God's undiluted Word from God's servant. Get ready for a transformation.
And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there put the man whom He had formed. Take a leap to verse number 15. We read 15 to 17 and we close it out. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. The Bible says, and the Lord God commanded. Someone say, He commanded. Come on, say with conviction, He commanded. Say it louder, God commanded. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Let me give you three nuggets, then I'll give you 3 points. Number one nugget is the fact that you can never love yourself to the extent to which God loves you. It is not possible for you to love yourself to the extent God loves you. Now, an understanding of that statement can change your whole life. Change your entire life. It brings me to number two nugget. God has more stake in your life than you do. You can't, never, it's not possible for you to love yourself to the extent God loves you. And number two, God has more stake in your life than you do. You know, angels sinned also, 1/3. And God didn't do anything. They are condemned to eternal condemnation, and that's it. Man fell the same way angels fell, and God went after him. The plan of salvation was quite expensive, one of the most expensive ventures God had ever embarked on. It took him 6,000 years to perfect your salvation. 6 grand years. Very expensive. Why did He go after man and do after angels? Man is created in His image. So when your image is messed up, you have to go and redeem your image. But they are not created in God's image, so nothing is at stake, really. That's how special you are with God. So it's not possible for you to love yourself to the extent God loves you. And so don't ever think that God will leave you to go through unnecessary pain, unnecessary suffering, or He will leave you at the mercy of the devil. You have no clue how head over heels in love God is with you. You have no clue. And Satan doesn't want you to understand that, because that is what you call liberty. Knowing how much you mean to God. Because you can see life through two eyes. How God sees you, or how you see yourself. How God sees you is your position. How you see yourself and how the world sees you is your condition. Stay with me. Finally, number three. Wherever there are benefits in life, there must be responsibility. In every benefit God created, He puts responsibility. There is no benefit you see in scripture that if you sit down very well. In fact, the truth is this. They are a twin city. Anywhere you see benefit, you must see. There must be responsibility. That's God's own design. And so the Bible says God created the garden east of Eden, and he put man there. And he said to, and the Bible says, now look at, let's go back to that verse number 18, 15 rather. Verse 15. Please, I need you to be slow. Don't hurry scriptures, right? This is our life. This is serious business. Want to read slowly. Then the Lord God. Now, I didn't say it with a low tone. I said slowly. So you can be loud, but slowly. Want to read. Now, next verse, 16. Commanded. Now, hold on. Three things I'll leave with you this morning. We're talking about the zeal of the Lord. Being with God simply means there are three things you must know and live clearly. Number one, you must know what belongs to you. What did God say to him? He says in the verse we just read. He says, of every tree of the garden you can eat. Now, a lot of Christians suffer because they don't know what belongs to them. You must know what belongs to you. If you don't know what God had given you, Satan will sell you what belongs to you. Man will sell you what belongs to you. And the only way you can do that is commit yourself to studying the Word of God and living it. If all you know, or most of what you know from Scripture, is what you heard from preachers, your life is in danger. Your life is in terrible danger. Most of what you should know should be what you read and the Holy Ghost taught you. There are things he will tell you on the same verse and the same chapter we read that he won't tell me because it's not in the line of my own purpose. He must speak to you in the peculiarity of your own divine fingerprint. I can't give that to you because he won't show it to me. You must commit. Most important things in your life are the things you do daily. The most important things in your life, you eat daily. Yeah? Well, we assume you take your bath daily. Well, brethren, if you don't study your Bible daily, you are in trouble. You never know what belongs to you. Let me explain this. 2000, 2020 was, COVID was 2020. I've lost bearing of time. 2020, I stayed home. I'm usually on the road. I practically live on the road. I was home. I was almost sick being home. But a lot of people suddenly could get me. So I had so many cases of sick folks in my hands. Globally, I think at that time I had I've never had that number at the same time. I had 14 cases of cancer reported to me, trusting God for healing. And I've never had that number at the same time. I'm usually paying attention to two, except probably you go for programs. I'm talking of individuals who know me who call. Never had that much. Probably was COVID. So I was going to throw myself into a long fast. I was just going to not eat for the next 5-6 weeks. Because, brother, when you love God, you love God's children. Deeply. So I was about doing that, and I was stepping out to go and tell my wife, no more food until further notice. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, no. He said, do you want to fast because of the cancer? I said, yes, Lord, this is serious, 14 people. And guess what? Over half of them were ministers of the gospel. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to... Those are my brothers, man. Something must give way. Oh, yeah. And he told me no. He said, are you fasting to spend time, or you are fasting so that you can deal with the cancer? I said, Lord, so that we can deal with the cancer. He said, no. He said, to you, before the Lord, cancer and headache are the same. Cancer does not need 2 drops of the blood of Jesus. You are the ones that put value on it. And guess what? From that day, cancer is like headache to me. We lost 3 of them. Every one of them, the remaining gods, they were okay. They're still alive today, preaching, doing well. Cleared. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must know the things that are for you. God has given you 2 things. Now, please, let me explain this. The church is not responsible for your spiritual growth. Your local assembly is not responsible for your spiritual growth. Your local assembly is responsible to aiding your spiritual growth. You are responsible for your... It's like you want to write an exam. So the pastor is coming to read your book for you. Who is going to write the exam on the day of the exam? So it is the person who will write the exam that must be the reader. Am I correct? That's why you are the one that must be responsible for spiritual growth, because your growth will be tried. They can't go through your exam for you. Your trials is peculiar to you. And God gave you the 2 things you needed. Give you a Bible and give you the Holy Ghost. And that's all you need. Have a plan to know God in the Word of God. Don't study God's Word because you can look for things. But you see, if you study God for prosperity, you find prosperity and you will prosper. But you can prosper and not know God. All right? Study, just look for Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, just be looking for Jesus, how you might know him more. And brethren, you will rule. So you must know the things that are for you. Then please, you must, part of knowing the things that are for you is know your inheritance in Christ. I don't know about you. Those days, Minister Samson, when you're going to school, but in school those days, your mom will call you to a side. Remember? That thing, I hate it. Like, you know, that voice follows you everywhere. It's like echoing. Whenever I want to go and steal someone else's book, when I was in school, like, steal someone else's book, it's like, mom is standing right behind me. Remember this one of who you are. Please, in knowing how great your life should be, how healthy you should be, how wealthy you should be, how much you should rule in dominion, you must remember the son of whom you are. When Satan wants to intimidate you, remember the son of whom you are. You must know what's for you. Brethren, you are a prince and you're a princess that also God has anointed to be kings. Do you know, in heaven, we are princes and princesses, because 2 kings can't be in the same place. That's why our own king, when he created us, because he also wants us to be king, he sent us to another territory called earth, so that we can rule earth and be king while he's king in heaven. You know, I hear things like someone were to have a conference in Calgary. God said to go and do a prophetic intercession intervention. Satan was about to put a seat over that city because it's very critical to God's agenda for this nation. So he sent us to go and do an intervention. I can't remember what he had now. So myself and my team, we started fasting and praying from February to April. Program was going to be in May. And, well, called all the, it was an apostolic intervention, called all the pastors together, every church we went to. This is what the Lord says to do. Let's just come together to pray. Okay, I mean, the Caucasian churches were open, the Asian churches were open. Everybody from my own side thought we had an agenda. And I don't blame them because people have done that before. Some were reluctant and were dragging their foot. Just some few weeks before the conference was to happen, the prayer conference was to happen, suddenly the witches, because you think in Canada you don't have them. Victoria is the headquarters in Canada. An island called Victoria. Beautiful place. They came together, said all the warlocks, all the enchanters, necromancers, everybody, they will put voodoo. Everybody that is Satan just come together. They want to have an open conference. When the pastor saw it, they never knew they had anything like that. They never thought, they now said, we're going to go for prayer. Everybody now started calling their conference, the prayer conference. So they said, the witches said they are having a conference also. And that, so the pastors now started praying. The conference will not happen. I said, now your eyes is opening. Conference will not happen. Tell them, there's no need. Go and sit down. There's no need to pray now. Prayer is not reactionary. If you are intimate with God, it's God's job. The Bible says he will do nothing but reveal his plan, his secrets to his servants. You are his servant, you are his child. What am I saying, brethren? Know what belongs to you. Health belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Healing is the children's bread. We have it for breakfast. Know what belongs to you, brethren. That somebody stands in the intimidation in the name of his God. Curse his God and curse him. I was in Victoria ministering some years back. I'm back there again in some few weeks. And while we're preaching, suddenly the power of God became so intense. Not only, we didn't know that some things were happening outside of the church. Suddenly the entire neighborhood became, there was something on the entire neighborhood. Suddenly a woman ran from a block away, ran into the church and started screaming while I was preaching, what are you people doing here? You are disturbing us. Who are you? How can God be disturbing you? We didn't know something was going on. People came out of their whatever. It was like something just came over that neighborhood. And she said, no, you stop, stop, stop. The usher was holding her at the back. I said, leave her, let her. She's coming for me. Let her come. You know when you go, usher is holding you. Remember those days in Nigeria? You two, or two of you want to fight. And somebody's holding you. While they are holding you, oh boy, leave me. I will destroy you today. So the guy now finally said, we've been begging you. He says, oh yeah, go. I will destroy you today. Thank God for this brother. Otherwise. So I told her, I said, let her go. She's been trying to forge forward all the while. The moment the usher let her go, she took her steps and walked back. You come. You will sleep under the anointing. When you get up, you confess Jesus as Lord. Present, that is the presence of God that is in your life. It's not peculiar to anybody. It's for all of us. Know what belongs to you. The number two. God did not give you everything. You must know what does not belong to you. Some things do not belong to you. God said, of how many tree can you eat? All of the trees of the garden, except. There is always an except with God. There's an except for you. So don't think you can run riot and loot because you're the son of the king. No, there are some things that is not regal, not royal, and is not worthy of the palace. Like you talking anyhow and just being disrespectful to your wife. Or you not honoring your husband. Or you not diligently raising up your children in the way of the Lord. Or being disrespectful to parents. Oh, well, Pastor, you don't know he did. All the while we were in school, he never sent us any money. God did not say, honor your good father. What did he say? There is a reason to put any adjective, because you knew there would be bad ones. Some things are not allowed. Brother, we can't do everything. We are not allowed to. You must know. Please, you must know what's for you. It's very important. And when you are praying, there are some things you must not beg for. Beg. How can you beg for what is yours already? You make a demand. Fill out a requisition. Send it to the store. Store has to release it. Has to. Some Christians went on a crusade and you're not waving to me. Okay, you've waved. I didn't see you. Thank you. Some Christians went on a crusade. They wanted to kind of win souls in the neighborhood. We're going to win souls in the neighborhood. And suddenly, the clouds gathered. And it was going to rain heavily. And brethren were praying. You know Americans now, the way they pray. Lord, if it is your will, if it is, Lord, we know we can't tell you what to do. If it is your will, blah, blah, blah. One of our sisters was there with them. She said, what nonsense are you, with Nigerian accent. Because what nonsense are you people saying here? She said, let us pray. She said, Father, we are not here for our own business. So you sent us here, we are here to do your work. If you want rain to disturb it, tell us so that we go home. Otherwise, you must make sure that there's no rain here. I'm not here to do my business. I'm here to do your business. It is your business to make sure I have the right condition to do your business. In Jesus' name we pray. The Americans could not say amen. They couldn't. Guess what? Their lives changed that day. Every other place outside of where they came to witness, there was rain. Every place that they were supposed to cover for evangelism, not a drop of rain. So you see this house, which is part of the street they were supposed to go to, on the backyard, on the fence, on the other side, there's rain, but there's no rain in this part. You must know what belongs to you. But brethren, God says you can have all the tree, but there is just this one thing that is not for you. One thing. You are not allowed to raise your hand on your spouse. You are not allowed not to forgive any human being. You are not allowed. You are not allowed. I don't care the gravity of the offense. You ain't allowed. You are not allowed to fail. Finally, number three, responsibility. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Responsibility. God said to go back to verse 15 for me. Can we read together, church? I'm done. Read. Then took the man and to tend it. Next verse. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the... Read. Yeah. Keep reading. And but... So you notice, ladies and gentlemen, that the things that are for you is a command. The things that are not for you is a command. But your responsibility is not a command. Back up to verse 15 again. And the Lord God put man, the man, took the man rather, and put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. Did he command him to tend it and to keep it? No. Now, it's important for you to know that because the next verse starts with a command. Next verse says, and the Lord God commanded the man. You notice that the responsibility was not a command. What your benefits is a command. Your restrictions or limitation is a command. But your responsibility is not a command. God never told him, I command you to dress the garden. I command you to take care of the garden. No. Now, let's stand. Time is up. Who was the first man to be created? Adam. Now, Adam had no, there was no there was nothing to learn from. There was nothing to learn from. No historical facts of how he should behave, how he should do, things he should do. How did he know to tend the garden? God did not have to tell him that because is designed to be that. Do you know it takes you to walk against your nature to be irresponsible? It takes you to fight your nature as a believer, not to do anything in church. Do you understand what I'm saying? How did you know how to garden? No one taught you. No one had gardened before. No one knew how to manage anything before. But God did not have to command him to do that. See, you command someone to do what is not, what he doesn't have a natural propensity for. You know, like African parents, they always speak in the reverse. I don't know about you. My mother would tell me, Kunle, I'm going to, if you like, don't wash the plates. If you like, don't sweep the floor. They always speak in reverse. And who gave back to me not to wash the plate? That, if you like, simply means don't do it and you are dead. They always speak in the reverse. Do you know why they speak in the reverse? So that you understand the message. If they say, okay, say, PK, go and wash the plate, that's a command. No. It is your responsibility in this house to wash plates. So they just remind you and say, if you like. The day you got saved, your nature changed. You need to walk contrary. It is, if you, have you ever seen a baby that was born that did not want to eat? The first evidence of life in a baby is to cry. And they are crying for what? Food. So I don't understand how you can be born again and you are not hungry for the word. It's innate in you to be responsible. You need to fight it to be responsible. It's not, that's why God will not command you to give this. He will not command you to pay your tithe. He will not command you to give your offering. You will not see any command in the New Testament. As you were, the only command is love the Lord your God. I love your... That is all Jesus reiterated. Everything about giving is encapsulated in both. You giving to God and you giving to men. That's all I came to remind you this morning. Wherever there are benefits, there's responsibility. And the responsibility is never a command. Your nature is already wired to be responsible. So all I'm asking you to do this morning, just be you. Just be you. Can we close our eyes to pray? I want to pray with you if you are not yet saved. I didn't say if you don't come to church, if you know you're not yet saved. You've not sincerely asked Jesus into your heart. I'm not talking of you talking about it or you confessing it. No, you know you've not opened your heart to Jesus and you want to do that this morning. Just raise your right hand wherever you are. My time is way, way fast spent. I want to pray with you where you are. I don't have time to call you forward. God bless you. Just raise your right hand wherever you are. I want to pray with you. Don't be ashamed of anything. This is your life. It's Jesus wanted to come in. God bless you. Jesus wanted to come in and making you his own. And all you need to do where you are standing is just ask the Lord into your hearts. I did this in 1985. I didn't know what to say. I said, Lord, you know what? I've heard about you. And I know, Lord, my life is empty without you, so I need you in my heart. Just open up. Say something to him in your heart. Say, Lord, come take my heart. Lord, I ask you into my heart. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I'm damn serious this time. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for these hands raised. The Holy Spirit, you teach them more about Jesus. Lord, you grow them. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust God that this ministration blessed your life tremendously. Do share your testimony and experience with us by emailing us at hello@myloftyheightsglobal.org. For more life-transforming messages from our ministry, please visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also stay connected with us across our social media platforms at My Lofty Heights. To give to our ministry, please visit our website. We love you, we honor you, and we celebrate you.